Kamala.
Good morning to everyone. Good to see you all. You back and everything.
So I was doing some research for this commandment, the fifth commandment. I came across the following social analysis regarding our children. It says, the world is passing through troublous times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They're impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they knew everything. What passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for the girls, they're froward, immodest, unladylike in speech, behavior, and dress. You guys feel bad for being such rotten people? Actually, this was a sermon extract from a person by the name of Peter the Hermit in 1274 A.D. Solomon said that there's nothing under the sun that is new. I've seen similar types of statements. One came from during the time of the Roaring Twenties, when some of you older people grew up at that time, and you should be ashamed of yourselves, frankly, for how you were when you were young. Aristotle made a similar statement about the children of his age and time. Actually, not that much changes. Things were said about my generation when I was growing up and a child were also true. And we come to this commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. I'll turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And we'll come to the fifth commandment. And it says very simply, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. Now, is today's sermon just for the kids? Kids, today this sermon is for you. But is it only for you? Mr. Armstrong used to talk about, this is for children from age 1 to 101. Well, actually, the Ten Commandments are for everyone of all ages, during all ages, and through all of the ages. So we're going to find that this commandment on honoring your father and your mother will apply to each and every one of us. And again, the purpose of this Ten Commandments series is to examine these commandments and see what does God want us to get from them? How does He want us to apply them in all of our daily lives, no matter who we are? And particularly as those who do have God's name, as you've taken God's name when you were baptized, how do you behave in a Christ-like manner? You know, it's said that the commandments are broken down into two sections. The first four are commandments on how to worship God, and the last six on how to relate to mankind. But actually, this fifth commandment is a transitional commandment. We've gone through the first four commandments, and the first four commandments tell us how to honor our Heavenly Father. The key word there is our Heavenly Father. To Adam and Eve, God was their Father. To all of us, God is our Father because He's the Creator of all things. And so this commandment doesn't just refer to our relationship with human beings. It's transitional in that it is reflecting back on those first four commandments and showing still we have to honor our Heavenly Father in the same way that we honor our physical fathers and mothers on earth. So this again, it's a transitional commandment reflecting on a relationship with God and man. So the fifth, it was broken down into two, but this is a great transitional commandment. Let's begin with, what does it mean to honor? It's to honor your father and your mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 in the Amplified Version says, regard, treat with honor, do obedience and courtesy your father and mother, that the days may be long for the Lord in the land the Lord your God gives you. Now, honor is not some cowering fear. It's not some, I'm the master, you're the servant, you do what I say and everything will be okay. It means to honor. A synonym is respect. And it means to place a high value upon, to show a high opinion, or to show courtesy to. Now, children, how are we at doing that with our parents? Most often, we probably do fairly well. You get into teenage years, sometimes it's not as pretty as we'd like for it to be, as far as that honor goes. But children are to honor their parents. It forbids speech that is rude. It forbids actions and speech that is discourteous, that's contemptuous, that's mocking, that is rebellious. And so there's a lot there. And basically, you go into a lot of specific things about how to treat your parents. But in essence, it just means treat them with respect, treat them well, honor them, follow what they say, follow the good things that they do, disregard the things that they do that aren't so good. You know, God takes this commandment very seriously. It isn't a commandment that's, well, it's kind of a lesser commandment. It doesn't really have as much effect as some of the other commandments, because they all have tremendous impact on society, on our lives. A few pages over in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. Exodus 21, verse 17. It says, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Well, I'd say that's taking it very seriously. Now, if you have a child who is just of a rebellious nature and just will not submit to his or her parent, then that person was to be taken out of society so that it didn't have a bad effect on the rest of society as time went by. And it was pretty harsh. I don't read many scriptures, or in fact, I'm not familiar with any that where the child was just taken out and stoned. And, you know, a lot of that going on, a lot of dead kids because a lot of rebellious kids. I think one reason was because they were to do so, and that was really the punishment for it. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. I'll give you kids a really gross memory scripture. Okay, but I'll bet you can remember it when you leave here today. And we want you to remember the principle of honoring your parents and how seriously God takes it. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. It says, the eye that mocks his father. Now, I don't know. Those of you that have had teenagers are familiar with the look, right? You know that you could really drop dead any time and be fine with me. I don't know if you've experienced that look from your kids. Hopefully not. Hopefully you had that teenager that just went through life and was so courteous and respectful and never had a thought of straying. But unfortunately, my kids had the look down. You know, and when they had a look that could kill, that was it. The eye who mocks his father. That falls in that category. That scorns obedience to a mother. I will not do that. Yes, you will. No, I won't. You know, that's disrespect. That's complete disobedience to your parent. So the eye that mocks the father, that scorns obedience to the mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by vultures. So, parents, that's a good one to use. You know, hey, you're not respectful to me. You're going to have some eagle coming down and pecking out your eyes, and a vulture is going to eat your eyeballs. You know, this sounds like what was that one where the kids went to the forest and everything, and the witch threw them in the oven, and Hansel and Gretel. What an awful story. You know, I'm going to put you in the oven and cook you and all that type. This reminds me of that type of thing. But the point is, you want 20/20 vision? You want to more importantly see into the future and have a prosperous and a happy life? It says then, honor your parents. And so you want 20/20 vision. Remember Proverbs 20, 20. Okay? Don't mock your father. Be obedient to your mother. How do we honor our parents? And I'm talking about all of our parents. Now, basically, there are three stages of child-parenthood relationships that this commandment applies to during all of these stages. The first is the dependent child, where the child lives at home, is under the parent's care. The second stage is the adult child living independently of the parents. And so you're out on your own, but your parents are still living, and they're doing what they're doing. You're doing what you are. And then there's finally, oftentimes, the stage of the aged parent that becomes dependent upon the child. And those roles are reversed in the end times. We've all seen that. Many of us experienced that. So let's talk first of all about the child dependent on your parents. How do we honor our parents in that circumstance? I call this the rule of the roof principle. Or roof, depending on what part of the country you're from. Rule of the roof principle. And that is that if a child, no matter what age, is living under his parents' roof and living under his or her parents' care, the child should respect and obey his parents. And the child should not violate the rules of the home. Okay, so the rule of the roof. We had that rule when my daughter was growing up, and at one time my youngest daughter decided, you know, she didn't need to go to church anymore. And so she laid down the law, said, I'm not going to church. And I said, so where are you going to be living? And she said, well, here. I said, no, if you're living here, you go to church, because that's what we do. Okay. And when you're 18 and you're not here anymore, well, then you're free to do what you want. And that's the rule that I made, and that's, she had to live with it, and she survived it, and actually she loves us finally to this day. She really, really loves us. She does. Good kid. Of course, the rules within the godly principles differ for the 4-year-old, for the 14-year-old, or for the 24-year-old that happens to be living under your roof, which is fairly common in this day and age. But regardless, if you're living under your parents' roof, there is respect that needs to be given. Now, the scripture also says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. And it is a responsibility of the parents to make living under the same roof bearable. And we have to be fair. We have to do our part. But then they always have to do theirs. Barclay, in his commentary, in discussing this type of thing, said this. He said, the great difficult task of parenthood is to exercise control in such a way that in the end, the child will not need it anymore. Those of you that have gone through the Growing Kids God's Way understand that that's the principle that was discussed in Growing Kids God's Way to a great degree, that you train the child early and have control over them, but then as they grow older, there's less and less control. But there again, the child has to be more and more obedient, having obedience in their heart and in their minds and in their actions as time goes on. So while a child is dependent on his parents, respect and obedience are required. A child should not yell at his parents, scream back at them, or to scream at them, not child's place. They should not call them names. They should not refuse to obey a simple request, again, as long as it doesn't violate God's law. If your parent says, okay, now I need you to go out and I need you to go rob a 7-Eleven so we'll have money. Then's the time that you say, no, it's in disobedience to God's law, and I should not be doing that. And so you defer to God's law. Don't try using that in places where you shouldn't, though. A child can show lack of respect, disobedience to parents, and it is a pure violation of God's law. Plain and simple. And I'm not going to go into all of the details on how to show respect and so forth for your parents, but basically it says, honor your father and your mother. Now what about the child that is independent of parents? Most of you in this audience probably fall into that category, to where you were raised under your parents' roof, and if they're still alive, now you're independent of them, you're married on your own, got grandchildren or whatever, and you're not under, in their home anymore. Well, still, you know, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 shows, in Genesis 2, 24, that the right time a man and woman are to leave home. You show respect for your parents by leaving home. Some parents try to be controlling, and they want to make sure that they control everything that goes on in their children's lives, no matter what age they are. But Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So to show proper honor and respect for your parent, there's a time in most circumstances, although there are certain there are extenuating circumstances in life, but you would leave your parents, so you're no longer having them care for you, but you done the right things, they've set a right example and helped you to be able to earn a living and so forth. But still, the relationship changes. You still have to respect your parents. You still need to give them respect. And that comes in different ways. And remembering special times and taking your grandchildren to see them, or letting them come and visit the grandkids, or spending Thanksgiving times and that type of thing, where you're still showing that you care for them as an individual. You're showing honor and respect for them as they're getting older. You show honor by listening to their counsel. In general, again, I know there are exceptions to this, in general, you'll find that a parent has the wisdom, the experience. They know you better than anybody else. And when you've got something going on in life, you go and talk to your parent and say, what do you think about this? Now, you're not obligated to do everything that they suggest, because you've got your life to live. You're an adult. But I think it shows respect to listen to them, to heed the parents' advice when it's appropriate. Spending appropriate time with them. And that's your job. That's your duty, too. The commandment is just as applicable to you as it is for your kids from 0 to 18. To show respect for your parents. Now we'll get into a few things by the time we finish on what if your parent didn't really deserve respect. Some of you came from those types of homes. We'll discuss that briefly as we go on. Well, the next stage often becomes the parents in need of support. Your parents get older, they're financially maybe having a hard time, biblically, ideally, those parents should be leaving money to you to pass on to their grandchildren and so forth. But in society today, that oftentimes isn't the case. They need help physically. They need help emotionally. They need help financially. It oftentimes occurs, but at least emotionally, they'll need your help and support. Mark chapter 7. Here's a direct scripture where Christ is showing us that this law applies to you no matter what stage you're in. No matter how old you are, if you have a living parent, there are physical things you need to do. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 9, the New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, then he said, you reject God's laws in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, now he's using a specific Ten Commandment that people violate. And this applies not just to little children. This applies to older people that would be, frankly, in about my age, 50s or 60s, when your parents are getting older and need taken care of, possibly. It says, Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks evil of his father and mother must be put to death. Verse 11, but you say, it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you. For I vowed to give to God what I could have given you. You'll see in your translation probably the word Corban, which was basically a process whereby you say, well, this money actually, I've earmarked that for God, and I know that you need some food and a place to live and all that type of thing. You're old, but I can't give you that because I've got that money earmarked for God. It says, you let them disregard their needy parents. Verse 13, as such, you break the law of God in order to protect your own tradition. So any of us can break the law regarding respecting parents from the time we're babies on to the time that our parents die. And then we can disrespect them afterwards if we're disrespectful to them afterwards. Christ set an example in John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, Christ was 35 years old here. 33. And his mother was a widow at this time already, and he knew that he would not be there to take care of her. So in order to fulfill this commandment, honor your mother in this instance, it says in John 19:27, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, John, whom he loved, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. He says, I'm not going to be here to take care of my mother, and it is my responsibility as a son to make sure that she's loved, that she's cared for, that she's just not let go and destitute. And so he asked John to take over the task of being a son to his mother. And from that hour, it says, that disciple John took her into his home. So it shows the degree of respect that Christ had for his parents and that we should have to ours. Now, of course, the question comes up, what does the parent owe the child in return for honor? Or a better question might be, what does the parent owe the child regardless of whether the child shows honor? The same question that you would have the other way. How do you show honor to your parents if they don't deserve honor in some way? Because of their actions or whatever. Now, this is an interesting commandment because, and we'll explain it a little further, that this commandment demands parental example. You know, when it says, children, honor your father and your mother, there's a demand that says, as a parent, you be honorable. So, you know, the commandments, they're short. There's only 10 little rules here, but it applies to every aspect of life. And this commandment goes on and expands into, okay, what about you as a parent? Are you being the type of parent you should be? It's that, you know, God didn't have to go in and say, okay, now number five here, which would probably be number 350 by now because you're trying to fit everything in. Number five is honor your father and your mother. So number six must be, okay, parents, you honor your children and treat your children well. It doesn't give that commandment. This commandment, honor your father and your mother, is by default a demand on your example. You need to have an example of godliness to talk the talk and to walk the walk. When you tell your children, you need to be respectful to me, and you're not respectful to your parents, or you're not respectful to others in society, what example does that set? I'll get to more of that in just a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're not here to go through and give a child-rearing sermon on how to be a parent, but yet this is important when we're talking about this commandment to realize that this is by default our command to be proper parents. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, these commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. So we have a responsibility to teach our children the correct things and biblical principles and to be the example so that we can say, do as I do, not just as I say. It gets to be kind of a scary one oftentimes, but it's a requirement here. We have to discipline our children properly. Someone said when a young person begins to sow his wild oats, it's time for the parent to start the threshing machine. You know, if the child is not being respectful as he ought to be, then we got to meet that, and start that threshing machine. The time to spend with our children. A Wall Street Journal article said that on the average, parents spend less than 15 minutes a week in serious discussion with their children. 15 minutes a week. Now, think about that. Hopefully you don't fall into that category about how much time do you spend in serious discussion with your children. For fathers, the amount of time of intimate contact with their children was reported as an average of 17 seconds per day. To me, that's almost an oxymoronic statement, to have intimate conversation for 17 seconds. Okay, we've had our intimate conversation for now, so now I got to go and watch the football game. And even if you add up for the week to 17 seconds every day, you're still not going to really get into that much of intimate contact with your children in setting that example through being with them, through caring for them, to showing honor and respect for them, those children you brought into the world, instead of running off and doing your own things. Now, even if a child doesn't get all these things that we just talked about from their parents, they're still commanded to honor their father and mother. The exceptions aren't there. And again, I'll cover that in a little bit. Still got time. We'll get to some of those tough questions in a minute. But what are the motives for obeying this commandment? Why should we take this commandment and do what it says? Well, first of all, because God says so. Now, how many times have you, a parent, told your child to do something and they say, why? They say, because I said so. And frankly, that's enough. It should be enough because you said so under most circumstances. But God says to do it, and so we should do it. But we don't do it just because He says so. Like every other one of the laws of God, there are reasons. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, those of you young folks in the congregation, and by extension, however this applies to each and every one of us in this room. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The New Living Translation says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. And when we decide, well, I don't need to honor my parents, it's the wrong thing to do. It's sin. And it has consequences that go fairly deep. In fact, it goes so deep that this is one that has a promise with it. It's a commandment that is special to God. Christ set the example even as a child in obedience to His parents. I won't turn there, but Luke 2:52 says when He went down to Nazareth with them, He was obedient to them. Child, He set the example of being an obedient child. As an adult, He set an example of being a good child to His older mother. The fact is, we owe our very existence to our parents. No matter what, they cared for us, they fed us when we were growing up, and they brought us into this world, and respect should be there for that. Generally, No one loves a child more than their parents. Now, there are some parents in this world today where there's no natural affection. The Bible says that specifically, there's no natural affection. But why do it? If you do honor your father and your mother, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we read it, but it says, honor your father and your mother so you may live long. It says, if you obey this commandment, you're going to have in general, a longer, more productive life. There's a benefit that comes from it. How do you have a longer and a more productive life? Well, again, the general principle, all things being equal, obedient child, even physical, would end up living longer than disobedient child. You know, when you get children involved in major crimes, when you get children involved in becoming incarcerated into drugs and promiscuity, chances of them falling into the wrong group and becoming killed or injured or getting some disease, they're not obedient to the principles and mores you laid down, their lives, literally, physically, could be shortened. Statistically, 70% of men who are incarcerated in prison grew up without fathers. There wasn't that relationship. There wasn't that father honor. And, you know, they've chosen a way of life that is putting them in danger. And they're not a productive life. When you're in prison, what kind of a life is that? Even if you live to be old in jail, you have a short life, if you will. You have a real abundant life by obedience to this commandment. It also goes on to say that it'll benefit the community and society. Because it says in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother so you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. They were moving into the promised land. They're moving into the land of Palestine. And basically what God was saying, that as a result of proper obedience to this commandment, then you will have a strong nation. And you've seen, I think we understand that a strong nation, strong families is a strong nation. When the fabric of the family falls apart, the strength of the nation is weakened. And so it says it's going to make a stronger nation. And again, not just because you've got little kids running around saying yes sir and yes ma'am. And not just because you've got, you know, a 5-year-old learning to be obedient. And a teenager learning not to sass back to his parents. It goes beyond that. It goes into the fabric of society. Now, why is that? Well, if we learn to honor and obey our parents, then we're going to be more likely to be able to respect other authorities that are around us. And this, too, is the implication of honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother isn't just for little kids obeying their parents in their 20s or 30s, whatever. It's not just limited to family life. Let's talk about some of the implications of this commandment. Now, we have a whole set of fathers that we have in society around us. First of all, our natural father and mother. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 calls it your fathers of the flesh. Your adopted parents are in that circumstance. So we have natural fathers and mothers. It says to honor those fathers and mothers. You know, there are also political fathers and mothers. You know, we have our founding fathers of the nation. And then coming on down to today, they end up being our political rulers. And you can get into the other scriptures where Paul makes it very clear that we're to show honor to those who have positions and authority because God allows them to be there and oftentimes places them there. And we won't go into all those scriptures, but the principle is that they, in a sense, are our parents. They're the ones that make the rules. They're the ones that we must respect and not just to say, well, I don't like your rules, so I'll do whatever I want. Unless, again, it interferes with God's rule. You know, the ones who make laws that say don't, you know, dump out in the desert or don't, you know, run the red lights and all these things that are there for good. In a sense, they are our country fathers. Job was a ruler of his time. And he sat in a position of rulership. And he said at one point in Job 29, verse 16, he says, I was a father to the poor. He says, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. He said, I looked to find out how I could help those that were under my rule. And he says he was a father to them. There's an interesting scripture in Isaiah 49, 23. It's short, so we'll take time to turn there. But Isaiah 49, verse 23. New International Version says, kings will be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mother. Interesting how God put that. He says that your rulers, in a sense, are in the position of being our national fathers or mothers as queens. And when you say honor your father and your mother, and again, the Bible makes it in many places plain that for the sake of the laws and for the sake of society to be obedient, as long as it's not, doesn't mean disobedience to God. And so, you know, when we get used to obeying our fathers and mothers, then when the magistrate sends a law down, we're not going to be quite so apt to be the one on the picket line, you know, or rebelling against them. We're going to be members of society that help the fabric of society to work together. Then there's another class of fathers and mothers, and that's those that are elderly. Whether there are literal physical fathers or mothers or not. You know, each congregation has kind of its patriarchs and matriarchs. Fathers and mothers, if you will. And, you know, I've adopted a lot of you in this room as mothers. And that's the way it should be. It says specifically in Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. If we learn to honor our parents when we're young, it's fairly easy. You know, it's easy for me to say to an older person, yes, sir, and to show that proper respect. And don't go barging through the door when there's someone there that's older that I could open the door for. And show respect for that individual who is our ancient father or mother, if you will. That's a part of the fabric of society that God takes seriously too. Then there are our spiritual fathers. You know, we don't call our ministry father as they do in the Catholic Church. On the other hand, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, Paul shows that in a spiritual sense, for the fabric of the church to function properly, that there needs to be a proper respect for even those who are in whatever positions of authority. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says, though you have 10,000 instructors, you have not many fathers. Now, you do have a few, he says. And he puts himself in that category. He says, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. This shows that in the fabric of the church, there needs to be respect for those who are in position. And I'm not saying this to a minister, and you know, I expect everybody to, you know, about honor and worship me and all that type of thing. But it's a fact that Paul was their father. Armstrong was our father in a lot of ways as he was shown the truth and passed it on to us. And then the minister that he taught and passed it on to you. And they're our fathers in a sense. And a proper respect needs to be shown in that way. A reference scripture in that is 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And verse 13 says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. To show respect for those in the church. Then there are the domestic fathers in the Bible. And when there were slave situations in the Bible. He was called the master. For us today, it would be the boss, wherever you work. He's the one that pays the paycheck. He or she is the one that hired you. They need the respect. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, my principle, 1 Peter 2, verse 18, says, "Servants, be subject to your masters, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." They don't have to be perfect for you to show proper respect and honor to them as your boss, the one who's in charge. Just like also, consequently, if you're the one in charge, you need to show the same respect to those who are working under you, as you're kind of in a parental role to those under your bailiwick there. And then, of course, the most important one is our Heavenly Father. If we're to honor our fathers on earth, how much more our Father in heaven? Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 says, "For if I be a father, where's my honor?" And we read this scripture when we were going through some of the first four that talked about how do we love God. And now he's saying, "I am a father. How do you show love to me?" And we are all required to show that love to our Father. Now, I think it was a year ago, at the family weekend, I gave a sermon on honoring our Heavenly Father and having a Heavenly Father. Maybe a good one for you to check out if you haven't, because it's an entire whole sermon on how to honor our Heavenly Father. So the commandment on honor your father and your mother goes deep into every aspect of our lives. It goes deep into society. And when that principle, that law of honoring your father and your mother is implied in its deepest sense, then society functions well. All things considered, we begin to lay aside that commandment of God. We begin to lay aside a proper fabric of society even. Now let me briefly, before I end here, talk about some tough questions about honor. Now what we're going through here can apply to any of the above, except with God, because God demands full honor. There's nothing that God has done, said, or whatever that would be dishonorable. But what about our natural fathers and mothers who maybe weren't honorable? What about a political father and mother who, you know, is not honorable? We find those in society too, Bill Clinton and that type of thing. How do you honor someone who is so blatantly in the wrong, but yet they're still in a position that God placed them or allowed them to be there in authority? The ancient fathers or mothers where the aged maybe don't behave as they should. The spiritual fathers you find in the ministry that maybe don't always behave as they should or are not as honorable as they should. Hopefully, under all these circumstances, you'd find they're setting the perfect example. But real life is always not always the case. The boss, who's not the type of boss that he or she ought to be. What if your parents don't deserve honor? Now, our obligation to do what's right doesn't only apply to people who deserve it. You know, if you take those other categories of fathers or mothers, and you take the political person who is over us in society, and maybe they're not doing exactly what they should, or they may be homosexual or whatever. They obviously don't do what they do, but you take the best parts of it, and you learn to respect and honor them however you can. Look for the positive sides of it and honor them in those ways. And you don't have to be always putting them down and that type of thing. As a parent, there have been parents who have abandoned their children, who have been abusive to their children. They didn't really demand honor in a sense. But we also shouldn't, there are a couple of things we need to do with that. One is that if we came from a very painful childhood, for whatever reason, because our parents weren't honorable. You should not negate the pain and the hurt. Don't pretend as though it didn't exist, because then you'll be living a fantasy life, and you know it's going to catch up with you eventually. If the relationship was destructive, if it was hurtful, admit it. Realize that you're going to have some disadvantages in life, but on the other hand, don't use other people's sins as an excuse for our own. Society today does very well at that. Well, you came from a bad childhood, and so it's okay. You know, if you taped up your dog and stabbed it in the stomach and threw him in the trash, or that you beat your own children, it's okay that I do this because I came from a bad childhood. No, it's not okay. It's never okay. That is not an excuse for you to sin yourself. Someone observed this. It says, although there are no simple cures to a painful childhood, the biblical pattern for recovery begins with honesty. Again, to admit. But again, don't take on the responsibility yourself for what wasn't yours, but yet don't use that as an excuse. It says, as long as there is dishonesty or misrepresentation of the situation, the journey back to health will not proceed very far. There has to be honesty before God about what has happened. The second step involves receiving and granting forgiveness. Receiving and granting forgiveness. We must receive forgiveness from God for our sins, because our sins are there, they're many, and forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgiveness is the antidote to defensiveness and inhibition. Sometimes we just have to let it go. There's a song, I couldn't play it here because the way that it's put isn't exactly appropriate anywhere, but the Eagles song, Get Over It. So it says, like, take your inner child and kick his little rear end. Said that. You know, some people look at the inner child and they use that as an excuse to do whatever they want. Well, really, in an honest sense, forgive. Move on with life. Get over it. Give whatever respect you can to those parents. In a situation where parents didn't demand respect, Laura Schlesinger put it this way. She said, it's possible to maintain cordial contact, assist a bad parent. And she's talking about when there's a parent that really doesn't deserve respect. Maybe they spent most of their time in jail, or maybe they were abusive and never repented of it or whatever. Possibly maintain cordial contact, assist a bad parent with such basic needs as food or housing and medicine, and not spend a lot of time marinating in the negativity in front of them or behind their back, bringing up and just causing them to never forget. Well, they're maybe not going to repent in this day and age, and you bringing it up isn't going to change that. You need to deal with it on your own. It may not be ideal, and it may not salve your feeling, but that small something you do enables your soul anyway to give honor in whatever way you can, even though the honor isn't deserved. You know, if you've got a parent who was not deserving or demanding of honor, and they died, and you haven't reconciled, but you'll be able to do it. There's a time when they're going to be able to see and know what the truth was. And you'll be able to teach them and help them, and you'll be their spiritual father or mother in teaching. Don't expect perfection from parents. This is for all of us. Don't expect perfection from parents. I think at some point in our lives, we, as a child, get taken aback a little bit when we see our parents do something that's not right. Wow. About my dad is perfect. Dad is a minister. Well, you shouldn't think or react that way or say that. Don't expect perfection. There aren't any perfect parents. God is a perfect God. But otherwise, don't expect perfection. Children, give your parents a break. And overall, we do the best we can. We don't do everything perfectly. We make mistakes, so do you. But honor your parents anyway.
Sometimes it'll help to learn your parents' story, to understand why it is they're the way they are. Talk to them and find out about what their childhood was like and the struggles they went through as they were growing up. Some of their thoughts and their early years of family and courtship and all those things. Learn your family. Sometimes we get to be a little more forgiving of our parents when we see some of the things they went through and they struggled with themselves. And finally, and I'll close with this, but we need to pay back the good we receive from your parents. Pay back the good we receive from our parents, but refuse to return evil for evil. Refuse to return evil for evil if there was some evil there. Hopefully, you know, you came from pretty good, ideal families. None of this stuff applies to you. Chances are some of these things are going to apply on some basis. But every one of us received some good from our parents. There's nothing else that gave you life. And as a result, you have an opportunity for eternal life in God's kingdom. And you owe them thanks for that and that opportunity. And of course, God, the praise for calling you and opening your mind and giving you a chance for that eternal life. Most of us also receive love, nurturing, support, encouragement, discipline. Thank our parents for that. Give them the honor they deserve. And if they didn't, again, at least be thankful for what they did get. Don't return evil for evil. If we receive some bad things, remember the commandment, vengeance is mine, that says the Lord. God'll settle things in the end. All those things work out. Our job, whether we are old enough to be able to hear what's being said today or not as a young child, or whether you're so old you can barely hear because of the hearing aid, we all must obey the commandment. In some way or the other in our lives, in many ways in our lives, honor your father and your mother.